Corinthians and 15, 1 to 4, 50 to 58. Right then, let's hear God's word. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And then on to 50, verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. Ezekiel 37 and the first 14 verses. Let's hear God's word. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of a valley which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, Ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above. But there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came upon them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then said he unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. we are cut off from our part. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. What a sight that must have been. A whole army. Dead for, no, I don't know how many years. And it just shows you the power of God. God speaks to us. We were dead like this. One day we were like this. And the Lord spoke to us and he said, live. And we lived. And we're alive today. The heading we've got this morning to think about is one voice. One voice, immediate action. One voice, immediate action. The readings this morning have been about that one voice. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, one voice, and shall come forth. Immediate action. Son of man, can these bones live? And the Lord said, prophesy. And they lived. One voice, that's all there is. There are many different voices that would try to grab hold of us. But there's only one voice that is true. And has the desire to see souls saved. Just one voice. And that voice is the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, come unto me. Don't come to the church, although you'll come to the church after you come to me. Don't come to anything else, any organizations, although you might come to them after you come to me. But Jesus himself explicitly says there's only one voice to be heard where salvation is issued. And that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one voice that will be heard on that day. The hour is coming. There'll only be one voice heard on that day. John chapter 5, I've just read it. John chapter 5 and verse 28. The hour is coming when all those that are in the grave shall rise up. There's only one voice that will be heard. And everyone who has ever lived until that hour will either be changed physically or will be raised from the dead also physically. So there's only one voice that will be heard on that day, and there'll be only one voice that will be obeyed on that day. For Paul reminds us that every knee shall bow. The Father has exalted him and given him a name higher than any other name. And at his name every knee shall bow. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. One name. One voice. And all those who hate the Lord Jesus Christ today will bow the knee. Whether we will all be together before the judgment in Matthew chapter 25, where we are separated, whether it will be when we're all raised and we're all as one great mass, whether it will be then that we'll all bow the knee, or whether it's after Matthew chapter 25 and we're separated, but we will all bow the knee. That's what the Bible says. And everyone shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's a swear word. They blaspheme nearly every day. I used to do it myself before I was saved. And I'm sure you have done it. You've used the Lord's name in vain. Everyone does. And those today who are blaspheming his name, they will bow the knee. And what a day that will be for them. A day of terror. But for those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, it will be a day of joy. We bow the knee in our hearts at the moment. But one day we're going to do it literally. One voice. An immediate action. Only one voice will be able to sift and to separate on that day. Matthew chapter 25. I've just mentioned it. There's only one voice. That's why God says, if you hear my voice, harden not your hearts. Are you hardening your heart this morning? It's an easy thing to do. The Lord says, I want you to do this. No, I'm not going to do it. One voice. And I love that voice. Do you love that voice? Where do you hear the voice? This is where you hear the voice. This is God's word speaking to us. He tells us he loves us. I've loved you with an everlasting love, he says. Can you imagine that? No one else has ever told me that, and no one else will ever tell me that, and no one else will ever tell you that. Whether it's your husband or your wife, or whether your children or your grandchildren, they may tell you they love you, but it will come to an end. Because death is that parting place. But here, even though we die, it still doesn't stop the love that Christ has for us. I've loved you with an everlasting love. Someone has loved me forever. He loved me in eternity. He loved me before I came to him. He loved me in my sin. And he was prepared to leave heaven to come and to save the likes of me. My dear friends, we should appreciate our salvation. There's only one voice. One voice and immediate action. Being saved is immediate. Being led up to it may take some time. But the actual point of being saved is immediate. He supplies the faith that we need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He supplies it. And it's immediate. And how do we know that we're saved? Because the Holy Spirit testifies with our spirit that we have been saved. I know many people today who have not this assurance, and yet the Bible gives us this assurance. Paul says, I know. We'll be turning in a little while to Job chapter 19. And what does Job say in chapter 19? And remember who Job was, and we'll remember what Job went through. But he could say this, I know. I don't think, I don't hope, I don't wish, I know. That's when Paul says, I know whom I have believed. Do you know this morning the Lord Jesus Christ is your Saviour? Do you know that you're saved for all eternity? God wants us to know. That's why the Bible is written, that we might know. Paul says on several occasions when he's writing his letters, I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to not to know. To hope that I'm saved doesn't give me much comfort because I might not be saved. I think I'm saved doesn't give me any comfort because I might not be saved. But when the Holy Spirit gives us that assurance and we know, oh my friends, I know whom I have believed. And I'm fully persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Against what day? That day that Jesus is talking about in John chapter 5 verse 28. That day the hour is coming when he will call and everyone in the grave shall rise. Sitting in a church doesn't mean we're saved. Reading our Bible doesn't mean to say we're saved. These things come after when we know that we're saved. We want to read the Bible because it's God's love letter to me and to you. And we want to hear what God has to say to us. We sing that hymn, "Have You Heard the Voice of Jesus Say, Come unto me." Have you heard it from the scriptures? Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You see, when Jesus is talking, it's always me and I. Because he is the one that the Father has set aside to be the saviour of the world. To be the saviour of sinners. Only one voice can raise the dead to new life. And according to John chapter 5 verse 28, it's a life that has never been experienced before. It's either a life of eternal joy or a life of eternal sorrow and regret. It's a life that we've never experienced before. When we were in our sin, we were slaves to Satan. We'd done everything at his calling. We were always fulfilling the lusts of the flesh and of the mind, as it were. And we never had a constant joy because what we enjoyed last night, we're going to have to do tonight. I remember that when I had a drink problem. You live for the drink. You got no joy in it. It didn't fulfill me the night before. Oh, I may have enjoyed it. But it wasn't enough. I had to do it the next day and the next day. But when the Lord Jesus Christ comes into our heart and he changes our life, it's a life of experience we've never experienced before. Joy and peace. An expectation. He said he's coming back again. And I'm expecting him to come back again. And as we read there in 1 Corinthians here, you'll either be raised or you'll be changed. Wonderful. We'll be raised first and then we'll be changed. We'll witness these things. It's not going to be done anything in the dark. Jesus said that to the Pharisees. I never spoke in the dark. I spoke openly. Ask the people what I said. A life of eternal joy. To be in his presence. Isaiah reminds us that your eyes shall see the King in all his beauty. To see him. What an eternity of joy. But to be standing on the left hand side of the Lord on that great judgment day, it will be a life of eternal sorrow and regret. I think one of the things that they'll be shouting in hell at the moment is, "If only." That's what they'll be shouting. If only. If only what? I heard his voice and I hardened my heart. If only I hadn't hardened my heart, I wouldn't be here today. I don't know, I'm saying, they might be singing, shouting that, I don't know, because I've never been to hell, and I never will go to hell, and I'll never see hell. But it'll be an eternity of sorrow and regret. That's why the Bible says today is the day of salvation. God has given us today. He has given us the full day today. Now, some of these things might not apply to you, but I believe this is going out on the internet, and there might be some people listening to it who have never heard the gospel before. That's why I say things and repeat things, that Jesus is the only Saviour. Someone out there on next week, when her brother puts it on the internet, they might tune in and they might hear the gospel and the Lord might save them. I pray daily for one fish that I might present to the Lord. When the Lord met the disciples in Galilee, he said, children, have you got any meat? Have you been successful in fishing? And they said, no, we don't have any fish. But he had the fish. And he said, well, try the other side. And there was 153 large fish that they caught. And they presented them to the Lord. Oh, that I could have just one fish. But I might, as Spurgeon said this morning, when I read him this morning, you don't know who has heard the gospel. That's why I'm glad that these things go out on the internet, because people hear. God doesn't need the Bible, as it were. God needs the word to be spoken. And that's when it comes over the internet and phones, and people hear it. And they don't harden their heart, because the Lord has softened the heart. Today, when you hear his voice, harden not your heart. One man heard the word of God, and he trusted the word of God. And all that he went through, and I'm just going to turn to Job chapter 19 and read these three verses. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh. There's John chapter 5 verse 28. Yet in my flesh I shall see God. The worms is going to destroy me. Paul says in Corinthians 15 that this body is going to be corrupt. It's going to be sown in corruption. This is what it's saying here. After my skin, the worms destroy. That's the corruption. But it'll be raised incorrupt. And that's what he's saying here. Yet in my flesh, I will see God, whom I shall see. I shall see him for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. One man heard the voice of God, and he trusted the word of God. After all he went through, and we know what Job went through, he lost all his goods, he lost all his family, he lost his health. But he could say this, but he knows the way I take, and when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. What are you going through? My dear friends, what are you going through? You're going to come out as pure gold. God knows what he's doing. He knows why he's doing it. And he knows how to do it. And he knows the end product. So whatever we're suffering eventually has to come to an end. Paul could say the same thing after all that he experienced. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, all things work together for good to those that love the Lord, to those who have been called according to his purpose. And what did Paul go through? He was beaten almost to death. He was shipwrecked. He was in the water for 2 nights. He was beaten with rods. He was ridiculed and driven out of the synagogues. But he could say this, I know. You see, this is the secret of the assurance of a Christian, is that the Christian could say, I know. I don't think, I don't believe, I don't hope, I know. Paul could say that, and Job could say that. And these are the words of a saved man. And I just want to, just for a few minutes, to look at these three verses. And it's all about salvation. I know that my Redeemer lives and that he shall stand at the latter day on the earth. He's coming again, he said, I want to prepare a place for you. And if I prepare a place for you, I will come again and I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I know that my Redeemer lives and he shall stand on the earth. I've only seen the Lord Jesus Christ through eyes of faith. I've never actually saw the Lord Jesus Christ. Those in the New Testament did. They were with him for the 3 years. I've never seen him except through eyes of faith. But it tells me here, I'm going to see him. And that's what Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 33. Your eyes will see the King in all his beauty. Salvation. Verse 25, salvation gives personal confidence. And it gives us personal confidence in life. I know that my Redeemer liveth and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. There's nothing there other than confidence. I know. What a wonderful thing it is to know that you're saved and that one day you're going to see him when he comes back again. Every eye shall see him. He tells us that in Revelation chapter 1. Even those who pierced him, tells us that in Zechariah. Everyone who pierced him will see him. That's why there's the great separation, the left hand and the right hand. Verse 25 gives us confidence during our lifetime. I know that my Redeemer liveth and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. What about verse 26? And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. That gives us the salvation, gives us personal assurance in death. That gives us personal assurance in death. He's talking about death. The worms are going to destroy his body. But yet, he'll still see the Lord. So in our life, we have great confidence. Even in our death, we have great confidence. Although after my skin, worms destroy this body. Again, that's why I read 1 Corinthians 15. You're getting sown in corruption, but you're going to be raised in incorruption. That's why many people are afraid of death. They're afraid of darkness because they're going to be locked in a box. They're afraid of the worms because they think that the worms is going to destroy them, and they will. And people are afraid. But the Christians shouldn't have be afraid because we have this assurance. Even in the grave, the Lord is taking care of us. All the atoms that have been dispersed, God is able to draw together on that last day. Yes, the salvation gives personal confidence in life, and salvation gives personal assurance in death, and salvation in verse 27 gives personal anticipation in the resurrection. whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Yes, we have this personal anticipation in the resurrection. I know that my Redeemer lives. We've just sung it. Do you this morning know that your Redeemer lives? Do you know you have a Redeemer? Do you know who the Redeemer is? There's no one on this earth, my friends. It's Him that come from heaven. Him that was His Father's daily delight. Him that was always face to face with His Father. And He was willing to forgo all this for those 3 years, that He might come to save those whom the Father had given Him. And He says this, all that the Father has given me will come to me, and I will lose none. I will raise it up on the last day. That's John chapter 6. Salvation. This is what Job's talking about. He's talking about salvation. Being saved from sin and from the clutches of the enemy. Oh, He's strong. I dare not face Him myself. That's why I've got to put the whole armour on, and that's why I've got to stand and pray. But I can't face Him alone. He is too strong for me. But I have a Saviour who is even stronger than Him. The question for us, and let's make it personal. And dear friends, I'm talking to this morning. For whoever is listening to this, let's make it personal. The question is this. Do we believe that these bones will live? Do we believe that these bones will live? Do we believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do we believe that Jesus is the only Saviour for sinners? Do we believe? To have this new body, just think about this new body just for a moment. Body that will never have an ailment. Never have an ailment. A body that will never experience sorrow. A body that will never grow old. Oh, I'm glad I'm old. When I see the world today, I'm glad I'm old. I'm getting nearer to seeing the King in all His beauty. A life without end. We'll see all our friends who have been saved there, and we'll not be able to say to them, one day I'll be at your funeral. One day you'll be at mine. One day we'll have to say goodbye. That's not a word in heaven. You'll never hear that word, goodbye. The question for us, and it's personal, is, do we believe? Are we prepared this morning, having heard His word, not to harden our hearts, but to come to Him? Come to the Lord Jesus Christ, whom is eternal life.